Share some thoughts again tonight about why I give to missions, but why we should give to missions. And I say I because there have been a lot of years in my life since I've been a Christian, that I've given to missions, and just some thoughts that have come to mind and just some things I'd like to share tonight with the time that we do have available to us about missions giving. Let's take our Bibles as we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter number 28. And again, tonight, I probably won't say anything that you haven't already heard, but I'm hoping to be a reminder to you about some things that we do need to hear about missions giving. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 18, 19, and 20, and I'll share some thoughts with you all tonight from that about my experiences or just blessings that it's been in my life when it comes to missions and missions giving. Amen. I still hear the pages of that good old book turning. Amen. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house. And God, I pray that you would just bless our time together, speak to our hearts. Lord, as we're looking forward to the challenge that's before us in our missions program and missions giving, and may you speak to us tonight in a special way to encourage us from the Word of God about the importance of it and how you want to use us in the days to come. And even as we look at this area of Scripture, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts, touch us, Lord, and instruct us, Lord, that we will leave here tonight and say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord, be encouraged about missions and missions giving. We look forward to a blessing from your word. Pray you be with our pastor as he's probably preaching, even at this moment or beginning to there at preaching there at the church that they're at as well. And I just pray that you just bless at Desert Springs in a special way and speak to those people and encourage them, Lord, that are going through some struggles as all the churches I believe this year have in these times that are before us. I pray you give us a greater insight now. We ask these things now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And like I say, I know that even when we talk about missions and missions giving, and you say we keep hearing about missions, but it again, I believe it's the heartbeat of God. And I want to share something that probably most of you probably never thought about in this regard. How many of you, we don't have a lot of military people in here, but do have some military people in here. How many of y'all know what a non-commissioned officer is? Non-commissioned officer. Miss Katie?
It's a person that's in the military that is not an actual officer.
Okay.
But they have a rank of sergeant or higher.
Okay. Elijah, do you want to add to that? What do you think about that as a non-commissioned officer since you're sitting next to one? Carry out the duties of the actual officer. Amen. And that's exactly what they do. I wanted you to think about it tonight. I thought about a way to share this area of Scripture, because when you think about Matthew 28 and verses 18, 19, and 20, it's an area of the Bible that God has given to his disciples and commissioning them to go out and carry out his plan for reaching a lost and dying world. And the authority that is given to them is from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the highest authority that could be given. We think about a non-commissioned officer in the military, as I was, and Shireen is still in the military. Brother Serge, Miss Katie, all of us, and Pastor, we've been in the military and got an idea of what a non-commissioned officer is. I decided to write a definition of it as well as write it down. A non-commissioned officer, or NCO, is a military officer who is given authority through a commissioned officer, but he or she is not technically considered to be in command. This officer raises up through the enlisted ranks, generally with years of experience and their names before they reach the position of normal power. A non-commissioned officer corps is often regarded as the backbone of the military because they carry out all of the orders or carry out what the commissioned officer wants them to do. In other words, what they do as well is carry out the responsibility that even our president has decided some things that he wants done the way he wanted to be done. We're to obey our commanding officers, and that's kind of like the rank structure. It starts with the president on down through the different offices down to where we get down to the lowest level, and a non-commissioned officer carries out that what he is asked to do. And I think about Matthew chapter 28 in this area here where we are. I don't know about you, but it had to be an exciting time. How would you think that you would be one of the ladies like Mary that went to the tomb and found that it was empty? Because this is the setting as it was happening here in Matthew chapter 28. The ladies were going there and they saw that the tomb was empty. Amen? Isn't that exciting when you think about that? I don't know about you, but if I was there, I would just think about the excitement that it had to be. And you think about this time of the year, the fall of the year, when the air changes. And I don't know, when you back home, you see the leaves changing and the excitement of the fall coming in. And it's kind of an exciting time when you think about all of that in regard and the beauty of it. But the greatest beauty that we could think of tonight is when they went to that tomb and Jesus was not there. Amen. And as they went there, I want you to think about it, too, because as they went there, they found out some things that that were happening. And as they were on their way, I believe something happened there that was so important for us to see here is that God or the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for something from his disciples. And one of the things I want to share with us tonight that I believe that when Jesus met them on the road, as he gave them instructions, he'd already given his disciples instructions as well. But I want you to think about it. I believe that he was looking for some men, these 11 disciples, as we see in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I want you to think about it. I believe when Jesus told them to go into Galilee, he was looking for something from them. He could have met with them where they were, but he didn't meet with them where they were. He wanted them to come to Galilee. Why would he have them to come to Galilee instead of meeting with them in Jerusalem where they were at the time? I believe that Jesus wanted them to come there because if they were to go, they were going to be committed to him and what he was about to ask them to do. Amen? There's going to be a commitment on their part. I want you to think about it tonight. Before the Lord Jesus Christ could commission us to go out into a lost and dying world and give us the authority or give us the power to go out and win lost people, I believe Jesus wants to know if we are committed to him before he would ever ask us to do something, to carry out something that he would want done. And that's the same thing that he did with them in verse number 17. He wanted them to commit to these happenings here. When you think about it here, as they were on their way, because it tells you here in verse number 9 as well, as they went, the ladies here are the women that were involved, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worship him. Then said Jesus unto him, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. In other words, if they were going to come to Galilee, that would take some commitment on their part. Amen. I think about it, Brother Sam. We were talking about it just a couple of weeks ago. Not JoJo. I'm going to get his name mixed up. Joel. As I was standing on this side behind Sam in the last pew there, Sam and his family were on this side. And he said, Joel, if you're really serious about asking the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, you need to, if you want to talk to Pastor White, you need to go over there to where Pastor White is. Amen. And it was going to take a great commitment to him that if he really wanted to be saved for a young boy, 4-year-old, to walk from one aisle to the other. You say that's not far. Yeah, but it is. It says something. That he was committed to getting his soul saved. Amen. Because he knew what he needed to do. And that's the same way it is with us when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to do something for God, God wants to know, first of all, are you going to be committed? Are you going to be committed? Are you going to be committed to this thing we call missions giving or faith promise giving? Because it's going to require a commitment. So the order was given. First of all, they were to reminisce, or you're going to say they were going to rendezvous in Galilee. Notice in verse number 16, there was an order given to this place where they ought to go. And when we say a non-commissioned officer is given an order, you're commissioned to do something, and you may tell somebody else to do something. So you got to gather and give that order and go to that place or go to that thing that you want them to do. So there was an order there. But not only there was an order, but it also requires to be obedient. If God is telling you to meet him there, you got to be obedient to him to go and do or meet him where he tells you to meet him at. Amen. So we see the obedience. We see the order that was given. We see the obedience in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went as they were ordered to do. They were being obedient. But the objective here, I believe that we need to see, it's a place here that Jesus had appointed. As it says there in that verse, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountains where Jesus had appointed them. In other words, he wanted to know if you were going to be committed to him, because if you're not committed, he's not going to commission you to go and do something and going out and reach the lost and dying world. Because if you're not going to be committed, you think about it. We say it many a times. If you're not committed in your local church and serving God and doing the things that it is required of us to do in the local church, you're not going to do anything and you're out on the mission field. Amen. You don't go. God is not going to send somebody on the mission field and say, okay, I'm going to send you and I want you to get busy doing something. You ought to be busy where you are, because if you're not busy here, you're not going to be busy there. What's going to happen? You're going to be one that's going to go out somewhere to do something and you're going to fail, because if you're not obedient in the small things, certainly you will not be obedient in the larger things that God would have you to do. So God wants a commitment from you. And the commitment begins in the house of God, serving God, because if you're not serving him where you are, you're not going to serve him when you're away from the local church. And that is the whole idea, I believe, here, that God wanted a commitment from them. And you think about it, when they saw him, they reverenced him, as he said in verse 16. And some of them were kind of reserved. Let me say this about this when I say reserved, because when I say reserved, look at verse number 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. You know, one of the hardest things for a lot of times for Christians is that we're going to have doubt as to what God wants us to do. We may have doubt in God doing some things that he would have to do. Well, let me say this to you. You're in good company. Amen. You are. Actually, there are many good, godly women, men, boys and girls that have had doubt in their lives about things that God would have them to do. But I tell you this, is nothing unusual about it. But I tell you this, those that did go and those disciples that went that doubted him, I praise God that they went, because if they didn't go, then they would never hear what they needed to hear that might be an encouragement to them to get them on the road that they needed to be on when it comes to doubt in your mind. Because one of the saddest testimonies of a Christian when you're doubting God is to sit at home. I tell you what, the devil ain't going to encourage you there. You're not going to get any encouragement. You're going to get encouragements in the presence of God, in the word of God, and around the spirit of God working in your heart and life or in the lives of others when it comes to doing things for God. Because some of them doubted, but they went. And I have to be encouraged that they would go, but there was doubters there. So we see, first of all, that Jesus is looking for commitment. And if we're going to be committed, we got to be committed in the local church, because it is the local church where God has a commission, or God has mandated, as I hear Brother Baldwin can say that, he probably say it while he's here, that it is the local church that God is calling to send out missionaries. Amen. And he wants faithful people that will be committed to giving, because if you're not committed to serving, you're not going to be committed to giving, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart would be also. If you're not faithful to the house of God, I tell you, I've seen it over and over, you're not going to be faithful to God financially. Mark her down. Because if you're not serving in the church, you're not going to give to the church. Because you want me to come and pick up your tithing offerings? I'll come and get it. Amen. I send Brother Shirk over there to get it. Amen. But most people that are serving God are faithful in the house of God, growing in the Lord, because the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I'm going to be faithful in my giving of tithes or giving missions, I got to be faithful to the word of God, because it is my faith that is going to increase every year for me giving to missions. And I need to have faith that God is going to give me what it is that he wants to give in and through me to give the missions. And it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith in the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is where the commitment has to come in here when it comes to giving to missions giving, because we are being commissioned here to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we know we can't do it physically, but we can certainly support missionaries that God has called or placed on their hearts a desire to go into a foreign land and preach the gospel and win lost people to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to be a part of it. So we got to be committed. That's what it's going to take. But I want you to notice, first of all, notice the command that's the command that's given here. Make sure I'm turning my paper the right way. The commitment, amen?
Amen.
I done got ahead of myself. The commission, amen, is the second part I want us to need. Commission that he's given here, when I think about a non-commissioned officer, he has the power and the authority to carry out the orders that he's been given by a officer, a commissioned officer. So the non-commissioned officer has the authority now to carry out that mission or carry out that mandate or carry out that order because of the power that is given to him. Notice what it says. The commission has power, but the commission also has a promise. Notice the power here. It says in verse number 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The word power there has the idea, not strength or might, but it has the idea of authority. The authority that is given to you by the highest one in command, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be obedient. We ought to be obeying him, because he is the authority that, or he is the commissioning officer that is giving us the authority to go out and carry out this plan that he's talking about. And so that's where we get encouragement from. It is the authority that's given to us. The person that is in authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about Philippians 2 in verse 10. And it says, "All at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord." When there's going to be a day when everybody's going to bow, everybody's going to confess that he is Lord, because all power is already given to him. All the authority is given to him. So he's commissioning us because of the authority that's already been given to him. So we have the authority to go out and reach a lost and dying world. The person that's giving us the authority, a place of the authority. He has the authority, he says, both all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So he's got the authority in heaven and in the earth. Isn't that wonderful that he has that authority? God has given him that authority, and he's given us the authority to go out on his behalf to represent him. I think about in the military, when I first got saved, and I was thinking about, somebody was talking about that we are ambassadors for the military. So when people look at us in a foreign land, you know, most of the Europeans always thought that Americans were rich. They look at us, y'all got all kind of money. Y'all got all kind of money. You got it really going on. But you know what? Really, you didn't have a whole lot of money. My dad, when I first got joined in the military, he said, boy, y'all get all kind of money. I am an airman. I'm on welfare. I'm on food stamps. Amen. Y'all believe that? We were a WIC. We got it. Amen. That cheese, how I get on that anyway? And that cheese and that bologna and all of that beef that they used to give you. What is it? Beef? What's it? Beef? Stew? The cheese. Oh, I love that cheese. And that prim, you could just slice it up and put some cheese on it, man, and melt that cheese and get you some bread, put that together, some mayo, some lettuce. Boy, that's good eating, folks. I'm telling you. How do we get on that anyway? Amen. But we see here, so he has the power and the authority, and he's given us the authority. And notice, not only does he give us a place, he's the person, he gives us a place that he's got the power and the authority. He has the priority of this power, as Christ has the highest ranking of all the commands that could be ever be given that we need to carry it out. So that gives it the highest priority. And this is the highest priority of a Christian, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we see here the command has, the commission has power, but the commission also has a plan. Notice in verse number 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here's the commissioning plan that God has for us. The first of all, the commission has a plan, but it's to go. Where are we going to go? Go to in all the world. And to what? The place we are to go in is to take place. Here we see it has four parts. The first one is going. Amen. Go ye therefore. Is it going? That's the place to where all nations. What priority? He says, therefore, the priority goes back to the therefore, because it goes back to the authority that Jesus had already given. That's what sets the priority there. But what's the therefore for is to see what it therefore you have to go back to what was given previously, and the command or the authority was given to us in verse number 18. So we see here it has a priority to all nations. You know what that tells me as well? That there's a place, it has priority, but it's going to take some perspiration. Perspiration. Slow down. I sweat. Amen. That's what it's going to take. So it means it's going to take some work on your part. It's going to take some work on the missionaries' part when they were going to go out. We got to be willing to go out locally, because I believe it's going to affect how we go out globally. Amen. Because the more you go out locally, I tell you, you'll see what this world is like. Amen. And it's just as bad everywhere you go. There's people in every part of the world that does not want to hear anything about Jesus Christ. It's everywhere you go. And you know what? There ain't one race any different from the other. You got bad people because they're all sinners. Amen. And every one of them need to be saved. Every nation you can go to, every race, every culture, there's lost people on their way to hell. So we're not any difference. We're all in the same basket. We're in the same boat. We all need the same Jesus. We need to hear the same gospel. We need the same devotion that they need. We need somebody to be devoted just like somebody was, because you got saved. Amen. So we see here it's going to take some perspiration. That means we have to go into all the nations, and we can't do it by ourselves. Amen. So we want to get somebody that will, and we're going to commission them. We're going to give them authority. We want them to be under a local church, because it's local churches that are sending missionaries out, because they are the ones that are giving them the support that they need financially to carry out God's plan. I think about this pearls. We said never casting your pearls amongst the swine, because you know what? It is not easy, because nobody or everywhere you go, there's going to be people that's going to give you some resistance no matter where you go. It can be next door and you're going to get some resistance. It could be in the grocery store. It can be in family, far, near. Your family is going to be against you. How many of y'all, when y'all got saved like I did, my family thought we were in a cult? Boy, all you talk about is going to church. What's wrong with that? Amen. It's better than going to the bar. I was faithful to that. Amen. Brother Serge, we talk about it all the time. Get that afro ready on Saturday night. Had them platform heels, the big old elephant shirts. Amen. Bell bottoms. Amen. We saw that on the screen that they were talking about there at the men's conference. We had to look at the screen, and they had different things that came up on the screen, ladies. And you had to tell what year that those things came out. They had one that said about the 8-track. I got that one right. Amen. They had one talking about the bell bottoms. I know I was in the 70s because I was wearing them. Amen. It's just little innuendos like that. Those things that you see and that you remember. So it's all the same. How did I get there anyway? Okay, so it's going to be like that. So we see the going. We see the discipling. It's very important, the discipling. He says in verse 19, the discipling here was that they were to teach all nations. The teaching has the idea here is to teach, and this verse here means to make disciples. We're to go and teach and make disciples out of those that we're winning and leading to the Lord. We want to make disciples so that they will be able to do the same thing that we're doing. And how many people today that we see get saved and never want to be taught anything? Because if you've never been discipled, then you're missing the basic function of the Christian life. And there are a lot of people that have been Christians for a long time, have never been discipled, never got the basic fundamentals of teaching that need to be taught. Because if you're somebody that's going to get saved, they need to know how they ought to live. And most of us don't know how we ought to live. That's why we come to Wednesday night. That's why we come to Sunday morning. That's why we come to Sunday night services. So we can be in the house of God, being instructed from the word of God so that we know how we ought to live as Christians. And when you get saved, you certainly need to be discipled so that you know how you ought to live the Christian life. What are the fundamental things of the Christian life? So he says to teach them to do what? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So if I'm going to make disciples, I need to reproduce myself so that Brother Hall now can go out and do the same things that I've already taught him to do because I've discipled him. So he ought to be able to go out and win somebody, disciple, and that person he wins and disciples ought to be able to go out, win somebody, and disciple them. And it is a domino effect, amen, not in a bad way, but in a good way, and that's how the church grows. That's how we multiply, and that's how we reproduce ourselves. So we are to teach. We see discipling. We also we see baptizing them. What does the baptism is do? Baptism means by immersion. And we're going to make disciples. Let me say this, and you can use this verse as well. He ain't talking about baptizing no babies. Amen. A baby can't be a disciple. He can't even talk. So how is he going to disciple somebody? And that's a verse you could use, but most people, they do it. But the baptism is talking about immersion. Because immersion here has the idea of immersing that person to baptize them here. It means by immersion. The multitude, what? Them that you disciple. Bring them in and disciple them. Bring them in the baptizing. Also, it brings a message. Because when the message is given, that's carried out, the message is that you're baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We are identifying ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We identify ourselves with the Father and with the Son and the Holy Ghost. It's a new identity that we're taking on now as Christians. And that's what you're trying to teach those that you're winning as you disciple, as we reach a lost and dying world. Because we want them to understand these principles. We want them to be able to do the same thing that we're doing and to teach others to do the same thing. Amen. Amen. So we see the discipling. We also see another thing, the teaching here in verse number 20, the teaching them, disciples, teaching them the need to be saved. They need to be taught. The doctrine is also to be taught in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So the disciples here ought to be disciples in teaching the saved so that they can be taught how they ought to live. The doctrine is what we ought to teach them so they can know how they grow, know how they ought to stand as Christians and how they ought to believe and not be drawn away by all of this stuff that's coming out in our world and our society today. Amen? Amen? So we see here all of these things that are happening here in this area of scripture. I want us to think about it here. Not only do we see the commission here, but we see the commission and the command that is given here. There's a command given as well. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. So notice the command. The command here has the promise. I like that. Lo emphasizes, behold, I'm going to be with you. Amen? So that's the emphasis on the promise. Notice the essence of it. I am with you. I like that God is with me. Amen? I like the extent of it. He says the promise here is even until the end of the world. The world means the age, not the earth, but the age where the period of Christ's presence is in your life. I think about it tonight. I don't like too much going anywhere without my wife with me. I just want her by my side. I just feel so much better knowing that she's there, even though I ain't doing everything right. Amen. But it's still nice to have her there. Amen. For comfort, for company to talk to. It's just a blessing. I don't even like to come to church and drive separate cars. And she'll tell you that. I don't. when church service is over and I don't hear the preaching and the teaching and I'm excited, I want somebody to talk to. I don't know about y'all. Are y'all excited?
Yes.
When y'all go home, don't you want to ride home with somebody that's going to talk about something that you just heard?
Mm-hmm.
It ought to be something that you're excited about. And if nothing else, to go to Cold Stone. Get some ice cream. Do some fellowshipping. Amen. That's it. You want to do all those things. Amen. I would say more, but I just cut it off there. Amen. But you do. And I think about it when Moses, let's turn over to Exodus chapter 33. I like this. And we're going to close with this thought here. Exodus, I believe it's Exodus 33. I like this. Exodus 33, we got to read verse 15, but let's read verse 14. No, 13. Now, therefore, y'all there? He says, now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, here's Moses speaking, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider this, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Moses is speaking, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, Moses is saying, God, I don't want to go nowhere if your presence is not going to go with me. Isn't it wonderful that God is not asking us to go anywhere without his presence? He's not there with you, not because of his doing, it'll always be because of your doing. See, God's position never changes. Amen? But our positions change because of our relationship with God. We can get out of the will of God, but God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. His position will never change. And I don't want to go anywhere without the presence of God and the power of God upon my life. I don't even want to go out into the world tomorrow without God's presence in my life. That's why I need to get a dose of it in the morning and say, God, go with me. You go before me and let me follow you. I want you to be on the throne of my life and you be in control so that I don't say anything, so that I don't do anything that I regret doing. But Moses did not want to go out into this endeavor without the presence of God. He said, not, don't send me out there. And you think about it. Even when it comes to missions giving, let me say this caveat. Even in missions giving, when it gets to be a struggle, you know God is still there. He's going to take you through whatever it is that you're going through, even when it's hard to give to the missions giving. Even when it's hard to tithe. Even when it's hard to get up to come to church sometimes. Even when it's hard to face this world sometimes, God's presence will still be with you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's a wonderful thing. And he's not going to allow the missionaries to go out on the missions field without his presence and without his power. He's not asking us to do it on our own. God wants to give through us to give to missions because that's above and beyond our tithe. But that's how God is. He's not going to ask us to do something that he does not enable us with the ability to do it. Amen. Amen. All power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. The authority was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's commissioning you and I to go into a lost and dying world, to reach them, to teach them, to baptize them, to see them get saved, disciple them, and reproduce ourselves. If it ain't in Tucson, it ought to be in Africa. It ought to be in Germany. It ought to be in Spain. It ought to be in El Salvador. I mean, wherever you want to go, we ought to be reproducing ourselves. Because we're going to give them the authority to go. The local church is going to be the sending of missionaries and supporting them to go out and reach a lost and dying world. Amen? So this is why I'm so excited about giving to missions in this 701. Amen? Boy, that's a lot to get out when talking about these verses, but it's been just a joy. We didn't get to talking about the money part. I guess I had to do that next time. Last year I had the chance to get back into Corinthians and talk about the giving. But you know what? God loves a cheerful giver. He's commissioned us. And God is excited about having some people who are sold out to him. You committed, you've been commissioned, you've given the power, you've given the place, and now we have the command, amen, to go out and reach a lost and dying world. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in your house. I just pray tonight, Lord, that you speak to hearts and lives. And Lord, just be a snippet of what we may hear in the days to come about missions and missions giving. Lord, I pray you bless us now as a church as we endeavor to see what you would do in our lives, Lord, when it comes to mission this coming year. But I pray, Lord, that you help us to continue to be faithful in our commitment this year. And we, by greater faith in you, commit even more this coming year to you. And maybe we've fallen off the bandwagon, Lord, maybe we get back on. And Lord, maybe we've never been involved, but maybe we get involved. And those that are, we will continue to do just what you'd have us to do, and that is reaching a lost and dying world. We praise you now and thank you for tonight. Pray your blessings upon the meeting here with Patch as they practice us, that we will meet in the back there with talking to parents about the upcoming activity, and may we all be faithful in lifting up the prayer petition tonight to you in some way, some endeavor. If it doesn't be here at the church, may it be at home when we get in our closets tonight of prayer. We ask these things now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.